Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
It is 1 in the morning, and we got a nice little podcast that's about to get going. Hopefully, we can be a little more productive on this one than the Wizards were in Philadelphia tonight. The 76ers just beat the Wizards 120-95 in Game 2 of their first-round series, so Philly now has a 2-0 series lead on the Wizards. Game 3 back in Washington, Saturday night, and as always now, on the Skype line, the person who is, for all intents and purposes, my co-host, but in reality is just going to have to play second fiddle to me because it's my podcast and he's not the co-host, Ben Standing.
Wow. That felt unnecessary. I mean, you could have just said this is the guy who last podcast said they're going to lose this game by 20. Could say that. And then you told me to stop talking like that because, like, you didn't want to send anybody away.
Every prediction that you've had on this podcast is wildly correct. And by the way, for background, I'm trying to get you to be my co-host, and you're the one turning me down. So I'm getting defensive in anticipation of you just turning me down for a 19th time. It's painful.
Look, we can negotiate it right here on the, you know, on the, like, what's the, like, what are the terms? Like, what are the options? Like, what's the, like, is it a 1-for-1? Like, what's the deal?
That's what's going to have to start happening on this podcast. Like, if this series continues to go this way, then on Saturday night, maybe we'll just do a mock Wizards After Dark contract negotiation for your contract.
I mean, it would be embarrassing if people knew the things I would, like, actually want in there. But yeah, I'm cool with that.
It would be embarrassing if people knew what I was actually only able to offer in there.
Well, then there's that. I like that. We've been talking over 2 minutes. We haven't talked about the game because it's probably other than the fact that I guess we said they lost by 20 or 25. I can't even really get that worked up because I'm not saying I was like, I definitely knew that was going to happen, but I was like, yeah, that kind of felt like that was going to happen. And then a lot of other weird things happened, and maybe most notably Westbrook hurting his ankle. But I can't sit here and pretend that I'm shocked by anything that we saw today.
Yeah, I mean, there was the Westbrook popcorn throwing incident, which I'm going to have a story. It's not up at the time of recording because I just filed it, but I'm sure by the time this podcast is up, the story will be up. And I have a story with all of Russell Westbrook's quotes about that. Basically, what happened was Westbrook was walking off the floor after he hurt his ankle in the fourth quarter. The Wizards were down 17 at the time. A bunch of fans were insulting him. I actually have in the story things that were said to him. Yelled at him from fans as he was walking off the floor, which you can read in the story over on The Athletic. All you got to do is sign up for The Athletic if you want. You can sign up, by the way. The $1 deal is gone. $1 a month deal is gone right now, but you can still sign up at theathletic.com/wizardsafterdark, and you can check out that story and read about that stuff. But, I think the two of us and everybody else is going to be on the same page about that. You do not throw things at an athlete when they're leaving the floor. It's absolutely ridiculous. And everything that Wizards players said tonight was justified and correct in my mind. Right, Ben? I mean, is that, do we have anything else to say about that?
No, not really. Obviously, it's, you know, it's ridiculous. This has been going on in some, I mean, maybe it's, you know, I don't know if it's more or less than normal, but there's always been some shenanigans and hooligans or whatever's going on. And I don't know, obviously, you know, you get a right to sit in your seat and, you know, boo and cheer. But, you know, beyond that, you know, calm down, lighten up, yeah. Francis.
Yes, for sure. The basketball stuff, Westbrook twisted his ankle, he said, multiple times in a short period of time, which is obviously not encouraging. I did not think he played well tonight leading up to that. He was 2-for-10 from the field. He wasn't getting to the rim. He didn't look explosive, and I'm sure we'll get into that. Beal had 33, and Beal was really good. He's just been relentlessly attacking. He was incredible in the first half. He's been relentlessly attacking this whole series, and they got down so much that I think he just kind of lost his mojo a little bit. I mean, the Westbrook ankle injury and Westbrook in general, Bertans, by the way, had no points, no rebounds, no blocks, no steals. He was 0-for-4 from the field, all threes. He fouled out in 24 minutes. The Bertans stuff is, I literally wrote a story for yesterday morning about the Wizards X Factor being Davis Bertans and how they need to find a way to get him more shots because they can't beat the 76ers if they don't pour in a ton of threes. And obviously a bunch of other things have to happen too. They have to get to the rim. They have to play great defense. The Sixers are just a really difficult matchup for them on top of being a better team. They're not just a better team. Their team construction is also a bad matchup for the Wizards. They need those extra points from Davis Bertans' threes. It couldn't have gone more the opposite of the way that I thought in an ideal situation it would with Bertans tonight. I mean, my God, that was really tough to watch. I know I just touched on 900 points, but the Bertans stuff was tough to watch, right?
Yeah, and, you know, frankly, I'm kind of over it. Like, from the standpoint of, like, money isn't everything, right? I mean, you know, he didn't tell the Wizards to pay him, and, you know, nobody necessarily thinks the Wizards have a big three, you know? But he is paid to not be just a guy. And you can't just be like, well, how do you get this guy going? Like, he kind of needs to get himself going. And this is the problem, right? I mean, you know, we already know, like, it's his big thing is the shooting, and there's not much else, but, like, boy, that really, really, is that it? Like, because if that's really it, if it's all about he can't get a shot off because the other team knows what to do, or, like, you know, he's, like, he can't contribute in any other way. I mean, you know, I think I've stated my case before that, like, they arguably should have, you know, looked to move him last deadline, and once, you know, they had to pay him once they didn't, all that stuff, because, like, he's just not a third guy, and, man, he's not even sniffing. I mean, I'm not even sure when's the last game he's played where you were just like, wow, okay, maybe I'm forgetting something, but, like, you know, yeah, it's rough. And I think, like, because Beal and Westbrook absorb so much of the attention and the credit and therefore the blame, I mean, I think Bertans sometimes kind of gets overlooked. Like, hey, he's not paid to just be a guy. He's paid to be really a guy, and he's not been close to that.
Yeah, it's a huge problem. It's a huge problem.
Sorry, one other thing, just because I said this the other day after we finished, and you're like, hey, dummy, why don't you say that on the show, I think? Well, maybe not the hey, dummy part, but which is like he played 27 minutes last game in a point where, like, we kept talking about how, like, who's their small forward? And it's like, well, wait a minute, why don't you just play him 33 minutes a game? Like, what is the deal? You're paying him all this money. He can't play over 30 minutes a game, in which he didn't have foul trouble last game. This game he did. He didn't have foul trouble, and you have no other forward besides Hachimura. Like, that, you know what I mean? Like, that's not even a thing says kind of all there is, I think, about the signing right now.
Yeah. I mean, the thing with him, which makes it such a problem, is that more so than any other player on the roster, if you're a good enough player to make $80 million on a full contract, then chances are you're to a degree multifaceted. Enough so that there's this coaching cliche God, I hope I haven't said this spiel on the podcast before, because I know I've said it to people, and I can't remember if I said it on the podcast before. And if I have, then I guess the listeners have to endure this one more time. But if you ask a coach about Bradley Beal on a night where Bradley Beal shoots 3 for 11, and you slide in the phrase, Bradley Beal didn't play well tonight, the Scott Brooks or whoever is the coach of the really good player that you're asking about, almost always, it's this cliche with coaches, almost always like cuts you off and says, well, he did not play well. He just didn't shoot well. He played well, though. Look at all the other good stuff he played. He played hard on defense, or he had 5 assists, or he had 6 boards, and whatever else. This guy played well. And don't confuse missing shots with not playing well, because it's not everything. You're going to have nights where you don't hit your shots, but the other stuff is more within your control from night to night. And the stuff that is within your control from night to night, Bertans just doesn't do. All of his value is in making shots. So he just didn't hit his shots tonight. It just doesn't work for him. It doesn't make sense for him. And you can say that for a lot of guys. You can say that for pretty much every really good player. You could say that for the vast majority of guys on $80+ million contracts. You can't say that for him, because his value is in the actual hitting shots. And I understand there. I think there's a call from a lot of people when he's having nights where he's either not getting shots off, which is not always 100% on him, but sometimes it is, or nights where he's not making them. And tonight, obviously, it was both. There's a call, I think, often of you gotta sit him. He's not giving you anything else. He's not hitting his shots, so you got to sit him. And I think the reason why he continues to play, and I agree with this, honestly, is Bertans has games where he starts off 0-for-4, and then he hits three threes in a row in a three-minute span. And those threes, in terms of the way the defense reacts to them, are worth like a million threes, you know? And he has those burst-out moments. He had more of them last year, but it's not like he's incapable of them. He still shot almost 40% from three this year on 8 attempts a game. Still very good three-point shooting season. Not good enough compared to what he did last year, but still very good, still very capable, and still very possible you can have a hot streak for a few minutes or something like that. So you play the long-term percentages in that case. But that being said, like game three is a kitchen sink game. That's, we're playing at home, we're down 2-0. If we fall down 3-0, it is over. No one's ever come back from down 3-0, especially not with home court advantage. There is no way we're doing it in a 1-8 situation. It is a kitchen sink, must-win game. Might as well treat it like an elimination game. Play Bradley Beal 43 minutes, do whatever else. If Bertans isn't hitting his shots, I don't think you can play the long-term percentages. Like, I think you just, in game three, Bertans starts 0-for-3 from three, and you're halfway through the second quarter. I don't know if you can put Bertans back in the game after that. I don't know if you can take that risk, right?
So I guess my question is, who are you putting in otherwise? Like, this is the problem with the team right now, is that like they have, you know, whatever you think of Ish Smith or Neto, like those guys have been, you know, solid in their own way over the course of the whole season. And even here, you know, Neto's just, you know, he's used wrong as a, you know, in the starting lineup, but that aside, he's been a good player. You have depth there, right? They have the three-headed centers. We've talked about that all the time. They're just light at the forward spot. I just don't even know who would you use. I mean, am I going to give more minutes to Chandler Hutchinson? I don't know what that's doing for me. So I guess
Just put in Garrison Matthews. Bertans is the only reason Bertans is a forward is because of his height, not because he does forward things.
Sure,
you know.
I guess I'm just saying, like, at some point here, I'm not trying to be stubborn, but like, because the other options are so relatively limited, I'm riding Bertans because if nothing else, he needs to recognize, like, you know, whatever happened, we need more from you. And if you have to get to some degree worked and we lose, well, that's okay, because I don't really have anywhere else I can really go. I mean, if it's 2 minutes to go and he can't make a shot, fine, maybe we'll do something different, but like, I'm going to ride him because this is why I paid him. I'm not going to Garrison Matthews, who's still in a two-way. I just can't do it.
I mean, I think that's reasonable. I don't think you're crazy for thinking that. I think over the long term, that's definitely the way to play it. But just in an elimination game, I don't know. I wouldn't have the trust in him on that night when he's 0 for 3. And you can go Garrison Matthews. You can go, look, there's not a right answer in who you go. I mean, it probably depends on the lineups you're playing and all that. But, I mean, Garrison Matthews, you know, is going to give you a little bit extra than just shooting, even if he's not making his shots, because he's going to be a really annoying defender and he's going to draw an offensive foul and he's probably going to get fouled while he's shooting a three. And he might, you know, gamble on defense, but there's no scenario in which his defense is going to be worse than Bertans is. You put in Anthony Gill, who, like, I don't know, Anthony, I don't really know if Anthony Gill is good or not, but there are things that he's solid at, and he's a pretty reliable defender, and he might be able to just give you something. Well, I don't think he's going to back down from one of Philadelphia's big forwards if he has to guard him.
Let me ask you this, and without getting into a long dissertation about each one of these things, what if you had to say why is Bertans struggling? Which of these things would it be? A, the coaching isn't using him right in some capacity. B, his teammates are not helping him enough. Or C, Bertans himself is just not playing well enough.
That's a great question. See, you should be a co-host on this podcast. I would say it's Bertans himself is not playing well enough.
Right. I agree, which is why I would keep him in the game. Because, you know, he needs to do more. Like, as much as this is about this game and the next game, it's really, I think, a lot more than that. Like, last podcast, I think I said to you probably afterwards, like, I was trying to, like, focus on the game itself. Because, you know, normally we talk about big picture stuff. We don't need to this time. This is an important game. It was a fun game. You know, the Wizards have been in the playoffs in a while. Let's do that. But this game was kind of not much of a contest, and it feels like the bigger picture stuff to me is more pertinent because, you know, at this pace, they're going to be out of the series, unfortunately, sooner than you'd like. And then the questions are, well, what next? And if Bertans doesn't start looking remotely better here, man, that is a bleak future. It doesn't mean it can't change, but that doesn't look good. And then, you know, sort of Hachimura, too, we're giving him a pass because, you know, young, first playoff and all that. But, you know, he's had moments, but, you know, we're kind of waiting on him. But, okay, but he's still figuring it out. We can kind of accept that. But Bertans, I mean, you know, so that's why I'm saying, like, if you think it's, like, him, I'd screw it. We're going to figure this out, man. I mean, we can't have you be on the bench.
Hachimura hasn't been good in the first two games at all, I don't think. But he's been not good in an excusable way. He has a ridiculously difficult job. It's his first two playoff games. He is their only guy who has any chance at guarding a big wing and not looking overmatched, either because he's too small or isn't someone who's supposed to guard big wings for whatever the reason. He is the only guy. He's the only one. And like game one, they just leave him out there on an island on Tobias Harris. They tell him to fight through everything. They tell him you're going to stick on Tobias Harris no matter what. Tobias Harris is really freaking good. Like he's probably, now that Mike Conley made an all-star team, he's probably, I wrote this very confidently the other day, even though I'm not 100% sure it's true, but it's probably true. He's probably the best veteran in the NBA who's never made an all-star game. He's a really, really good player. Like he's good enough to have been an all-star. I mean, he is really good. He's a consistent, ridiculously efficient 20-point scorer. It's not like he just chucks. He's ridiculously efficient 20-point scorer and a good defender, too. I mean, he's a good all-around player. And he's just in a really difficult position. It's his second year and his first two ever postseason games in what is clearly an extremely difficult road environment after, you know, a season where they haven't played with fans and he's not even used to that. I think Hachimura has struggled without question. He struggled defensively. He looks hesitant offensively. He's not really moving. He's had a number of times, which he does often, but I think he's done it a little more based on just kind of my uncritical eye test. There's just been a number of times where he's received the ball on the wing right in the chest and could go straight up for a three, and he just hasn't done it at all. And I think he's hesitant. He has a tendency to just kind of be a little what's the word? Because I don't mean it in a negative way. I'm just kind of a little, he's a little loosey-goosey, you know? and he has that tendency to get like that. And I think that just is coming through in his first two playoff games. And I don't think it's a problem, but it's a problem in that it's helping them lose. But with Bertans, it's like he's been bad in an unacceptable way, you know?
Yeah, totally. I mean, you know, like I said, I mean, you know, no excuses. They're all, you know, whatever. But, you know, yeah, Hachimura's, it's, yeah. Yeah. I mean, like I said, if Bertans can't be on the court for 32 minutes, even if he's not making shots, you know, sometimes that happens, even to the best shooters. Okay, but, like, you got to be able to stay on the court beyond that. And, you know, that's kind of where we're at.
What do you make of Westbrook's struggles?
Well, I mean, I don't know, but I was going to make this point, so I guess this is my contribution to this, I guess. I don't know what to make of his struggles, but what I do make is, I can't remember if I made this sort of joke at one point here or in my own head, I don't know. But, like, I think, like, Westbrook and the Wizards roster, not named Beal, like, Westbrook is E.T. and the roster is Elliot, and how the health of the one goes with the other one. Because, you know, I always believe that the teams take on the personality of the dominant figure in the NBA. That means the players. And like last year, I thought like Beal played hard regardless of anything else. And I think the team, it kind of did that as well. But now I think it's pretty obvious that Westbrook is that guy. Beal has played really well the last two games. He's played with a lot of energy, and this team, especially today, really just didn't feel it. And you know, it was like Beal and the team were on like different speeds or something. And so I really think, like, when Westbrook, I mean, these last 6 weeks, I would, you know, I don't know if it's completely accurate, but with the games where Westbrook is firing on all cylinders, so do they. And when he looks off, they lose to Boston by 20. And this game, you know, wasn't like maybe as bad as the Boston scenario, but yeah, it was kind of off a little bit. So, you know, some things he does on, you know, it's part of the experience, but we're on the wrong end of it right now. So yeah, but it just like the team goes as he goes, like almost all of them at this point. I don't know if it's because there's like a fear factor, like, you know, when your parent is, you know, is smiling at you, you feel good. And when they're frowning, you feel bad. I don't know, but something is the relationship is pretty deep. It feels.
Yeah. That's the way of a Russell Westbrook team. That makes sense. That's a pretty consistent trait of a Russell Westbrook team.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
I just think Westbrook has always struggled against two types of things in particular. You get like an elite, top-notch rim protector. If you're unable to pull him from the paint, it'll change how he plays. And,
I thought when you said he struggled with things, I thought you were going to say with like things like conventional clothing.
Yeah. I think that's a strength, not a struggle. No. I think we're the stragglers on that one. But with Russ, it's if there's a really top-notch rim protector, I don't think he's 100% of the athlete of what he was 5 years ago. I think we can all agree on that. And I think with someone like Embiid, that's just not a good matchup for him. That's the number two thing that he struggles with. I'm going reverse order. The number one thing is long, quick perimeter defenders. Like there are some point guards who, if you put like a beastly point guard defender on them, that's what gives them trouble. So you put like a Marcus Smart or you put a Drew Holiday. That's not necessarily the type of guy who is going to kill Westbrook. But if he goes up against the defense, even though Westbrook was not good against like Marcus Smart in the Boston play-in game, to me, the guy who really does it is the guy with long arms. And he's just had to face a lot of guys who are taller than him. You know, like when Danny Green guards him, Danny Green is a perimeter defender with long arms who knows how to do it. He's so much worse of an athlete than Westbrook. He's so much worse of an athlete than Jrue Holiday or Marcus Smart. But those long arms, you know, they have so many guys, Tybal and Simmons, and the help is just killer, and he's not getting to the rim, playing with explosion. I think it's really tough. Their half-court offense has really suffered. They are 100% about transition right now, and that is the only way they're scoring, is either in transition or if Philadelphia screws up in transition and doesn't get the guy they want, don't get their primary matchups, or they don't match up correctly in transition, and then maybe the Wizards take advantage of that. But that's it. That's the only way they're scoring. Once Philadelphia gets that defense set and they have the proper guys guarding the proper Wizards, like, the Wizards are just not scoring in the half court unless Beal just makes some crazy move and is able to get into the paint. And Beal was great in the first half. I mean, he was so aggressive. He was attacking like crazy. He was hitting so many floaters. Like, he was so good at just kind of getting into the paint and not going all the way to the rim, just like pulling up at 5 to 8 feet and just kind of hitting those little floaters. And he was honestly spectacular. He was not good defensively tonight, but he was spectacular enough offensively that I thought he was a legit. He was the best player on the Wizards tonight, without a doubt. But, you know, when Westbrook isn't going, you know, I don't know what they can do. You know, they need him and Beal to have A-plus games, and they still might not beat this team. It's just, it's a bad matchup and a much better team.
Yeah, I mean, you know, again, Westbrook is just such, and this is why we talked about, like, you know, even when you're talking about the coaching situation, he isn't just a normal, like, all-star player. The variables are pretty interesting, you know, for better or for worse. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, you know, I don't know how much time we have left, but, like, logically, you know, well, so what can they do better next game? And, you know, let's assume that Westbrook plays and is, you know, relatively, you know, at normal, normal levels. I mean, obviously he has to just play a lot better. And I think everybody else will pick up their game from there. If the game goes more up tempo, you know, that's going to be better for a guy like Daniel Gafford, who's running the court. You know, good for Ish Smith as well. You know, obviously, and hopefully, you know, the more you run the court, the more you get them in transition, and maybe that gets a guy like Bertans some open looks rather than being sort of stuck in the half court all the time. I think. Well, this is obviously the caveat is I need to know what's up with Westbrook, but I think they win Game 3. But I don't feel great about anything after that. But I think they win one of these two games. So whether it's 3 or 4, I guess we'll see about Westbrook. But, I mean, you know, the Wizards have been obviously really good most of the last, you know, 6 weeks, whatever it is. And, you know, I don't expect them to just sort of roll over here by any stretch. But, you know, it's you know, they're just limited. If their two best players aren't playing well and they got to get some help from others, you know, it's just, you know, it's just going to be hard against a team like Philly.
Man, you said last game that they would lose by 20. And then I said, come on, Ben, don't give the negativity. Hey, give the listeners reason to come back. I don't know if I ever actually made a prediction coming into this. I was thinking Sixers in 5. This definitely has some sweep energy to it. Like, would you be shocked?
No. I mean, this why like the West. This is where the Westbrook thing is kind of everything. I mean, look, I don't know what the Capital One arena will be like. Apparently, there'll be like 10,000 people there. That's going to be crazy. I think there's a chance both of us are going to be there, and I have no idea. I haven't been around that many people in a while. Even when I was doing some of the football team games, they you know largely were no fans at any of them. You know, I was at an Orioles game a couple weeks ago, and you know there were some. You know, maybe it was that many people, but it was outdoors, or I don't know. So it'll be interesting, and I, you know, there could absolutely be that kind of energy could really help the Wizards. And if Westbrook is playing at his, you know, high level of ferocity, I could see the Washington, you know, doing some good things. But you know, if Westbrook isn't, then you know, then that's a whole other story.
Yeah. No question. No question. You got anything else that you want to add? Anything you want to talk about? I mean, I don't know. I have nothing left to say about the center rotation. I have nothing left to say about, I mean, Brooks threw the same starting lineup out there again. I think it's plausible it changes for game three, but I don't know. If I were running the Wizards, I would say, like I said, kitchen sink game. We're changing the starting lineup. We're getting weird. If it wasn't clear coming into the series, it is very clear that Philadelphia is the better team. And sometimes, rarely, and even more rarely after a 2-0 start, but sometimes a worse team beats a better team in a series. And the way that it happens is crazy-ass stuff happens. But you need to put yourself in a position for crazy-ass stuff to happen as opposed to rolling the same stuff out. So to me, it would be throw out all the crazy stuff. Throw out all the crazy stuff that you have. You got to run the annexation of Puerto Rico. Just throw out the crazy stuff. Even sports movies understand that concept.
You know, the Washington football team literally ran that play.
What?
They ran that play this year, and it worked.
What?
Yeah.
No way.
I will send you the clips and the articles about it. Yes, they ran that
play. I got to start following football again.
Right, or you could read the Washington football team coverage on The Athletic.
I could.
Good.
I hear the beat writer's not that good, though.
I
hear he spends all of his professional time doing a Wizards podcast.
Right. It's bizarre. It makes no sense. I'm kitchen sink. I'm with you. I'm putting my best players on the court for as long as I can possibly play them.
Unless Beal is in way more pain with the hamstring than we realize. Like,
sure,
44 minutes.
Right, and that means I'm starting Bertans. I mean, like you said before, he's a forward by height, not by stuff. But he's got. If I'm going to win this game, he's making four threes or something, and that's only going to happen if he gets going. Now, maybe if I play him, look, there's liabilities on the one end if I play him, but on the other hand, maybe if he's out there with the best guys, you know, off the bat, I don't know. I have to do something. It's not working this way. And, you know, in the best case scenario, he plays well and he's on the court from the beginning. I can play him maybe 32, 35 minutes because I'm not getting much from somebody else, but at least his upside's good. So I'm aiming for that and he's starting for me.
Yeah. I you know what? I like it. I think it's a good point. Yes. Yeah, start Bertans. I just assume Gafford's not going to start. Somebody asked me, I did a live Q&A with readers on the site today, and somebody asked me, does Gafford or Thomas Bryant have the inside track to start next year? I responded, Gafford doesn't have the inside track to start this year. What makes you think he has inside track to start next year? So I assume Gafford's not going to start because he hasn't done it. But I'm with you. If you start Bertans, then starting Gafford would make sense. You get some rim protection. You get potential fouls and you get him leaving his feet and chasing blocks or whatnot. But you also get more rim protection, even though Len's been okay. But you get more rim protection there, making up for Bertans, having guys fly by him.
Well, I guess also, if you just want to set the tone, this is going to be a track meet, then that's better going with Gafford. You're risking the early foul trouble, but, you know, at some point he's going to go up against Embiid, I guess, anyway. But if you want to set that tone, I mean, maybe then Bertans isn't ideal, but I still would say do it. But, yeah, I mean, look, I said this to you during the game, watching Len do some decent things at the beginning, that the three centers they have, I mean, sorry, this is a cheap shot, I guess, but the three centers they have are all better than Jan Mahimi. And I only say that because, like, I feel like at times people, like sort of look at Len, like, why is he starting? I'm like, look, he's not Joel Embiid. He's not, you know, he's not a silver guy. He's not bad. He's okay. This is not an ideal world. He wouldn't be your starting center, but he's okay. He does some decent stuff, you know, whatever. Whether he was this doing it in the first 8 minutes or 8 minutes in the second quarter, he's fine. He's doing some decent things. And, you know, considering the post-Gortat center play around here, these three guys are fine. They're not great. They're not Joel Embiid, but who is?
Nobody. Jokic. That's it. What do you got to plug before we wrap up?
Standing room only podcast. I'll have one out probably Thursday. I interviewed former NFL general manager Randy Mueller, and I did, Fred, I threw out a couple of my, if I was a GM, thoughts about how things work about Aaron Rodgers and Julio Jones, and he didn't necessarily hate my ideas, which I took as a major win and a first step towards becoming a GM. So I'm kind of happy about that. And then I wrote about the OTA on Tuesday up on The Athletic. You can go read that.
Great. Check that out. Ben does amazing work. And you're covering a Wizards game this weekend, right?
I believe I will be there for 3 and 4 unless the authorities decide I should not be around people. I don't know.
As will I. We're going to be podcasting after game 3.
How are we doing that if we're both in the same space?
That's a good question. We'll figure it out. Maybe we could podcast in person.
Wow.
Wouldn't that be wild?
Ooh. We could do it like outside on the street and like get in the ambient noise.
Yeah, that would be wild. In-person conversation.
Wow.
Talk about insanity.
That is wild.
Well, we will be at, I'll be at game 3. We're going to podcast after that. We're going to be back with a new episode after game 3. Like I said, subscribe to The Athletic if you want to read my stuff. I've been writing a lot during the playoffs. I've been writing a ton, not literally every day, but basically every day. I'm five stories a week probably during the playoffs, maybe 6 stories a week. I've been writing on every single thing that I can because I know as a fan, I always want to read more when like the Yankees are in the playoffs and it's not a thing that you get. And you know, you get an opportunity to actually write about basketball that matters. It's a lot more fun to write about too. So it feels a lot less like work. So it's a lot more fun. You know, I wish I could do just kind of more unique things, but we just don't have that opportunity. Everything is, even as the world gets better, everything is still over Zoom. We're still not allowed on event level. Everything is over Zoom. You don't see anybody in person. Unless, of course, maybe you're doing a post-game podcast after game 3. But I've been trying my best to try to make my coverage as unique and fun and kind of weird and able to stand out as possible, adding a lot of analysis and all that stuff. And if you want to sign up for The Athletic and read that, read Ben's great work, read David Aldridge, read the rest of our NBA team, MLB, NFL, everything else, you can go to theathletic.com/wizardsafterdark and you can sign up. $3.99 a month. We're not doing that $1 a month deal anymore. If you signed up for it, I hope you've been enjoying it so far. I think it's an incredible deal. I think it's a great product. I was a subscriber to The Athletic long before I worked here, for like a couple years before I worked here, and I was thrilled with it. Our baseball coverage is insane. It is, our baseball team is ridiculous. It's just insane how good our baseball writers are. The basketball writers I work with are amazing. The beat writers, the national guys, it's such a good team. So you can sign up, theathletic.com/wizardsafterdark, $3.99 a month. Check that out. If you're not a subscriber to Wizards After Dark, subscribe to Wizards After Dark wherever you listen to podcasts. Tell your friends about the podcast. That's always a great way for us to grow. Give us 5 stars on iTunes. Leave a written review. That helps a ton. I'll be back, like I said, after game 3. Ben and I will be there with a new episode, post-game show up for Sunday morning or something like that. I'll talk to you guys then.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a 1-year subscription to The Athletic.
See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code The Athletic and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.